a kingdom, and that's really important for us to understand.
Let me read to you one scripture, and then I'll jump in. This is from Psalm 127. This is beginning in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. This is the word of the Lord. Indeed, we do thank God for his word. Let me start with the most obvious question of all. Why Trinity Classical Academy? Why Christian education? Why are we doing this? I've been the pastor here for over 20 years now. Our congregation from the very start, from its inception, has been committed to Christian education. And there are a number of reasons for this, and I want to quickly walk you through several of them, and then I'm going to hand it over to the board, and they're going to continue on with a presentation about a lot of the specifics. But I want, this is big picture, very basic kind of stuff. Many of you, this is like the back of your hand, you already know it. But I think it's important to retrace this round as we begin. Why Christian education? First, the nature of our children requires it. Our children are what we call covenant children, and so they should be given a covenant education. Our children are Christian children. They should be given a Christian education. They should be educated in a way that recognizes who they are as sinners who have been given grace by God in Christ Jesus. Sinners in need of salvation, but that salvation being extended to them in Christ Jesus, they should be educated in a way that is consistent with their identity. God makes a covenant promise to parents in his word. He says, I will be a God to you and to your children. Our children are God's children. That means in a very real sense, every Christian parent is a foster parent. You're raising somebody else's children. You're raising God's children. So shouldn't you listen to what God says about how to educate them? Our children are God's children. Our children belong to God. They are called holy in Scripture, which is a way of saying they belong to God. They are treated by Jesus as kingdom citizens. They are treated as church members, as parts of the body of Christ. The education they receive should be consistent with their identity and reinforce that identity. That's where it begins. Second reason for Christian education. The nature of education itself requires it. Education is never neutral. It is impossible for education to be neutral. Nothing is neutral. Education, like everything else, is intrinsically religious. And so the question is, what is the religion that informs what we're doing here? What God are we serving when we do this? Are we serving the God of the Bible or some other God? There's always a God being served. What God are we serving? Education is always grounded in a worldview, in a philosophy, in a particular perspective. Education isn't really education unless it answers the big questions of life. What is real? What is true? What is good? What is beautiful? The most pernicious lie of America's public education system is that education is neutral. That's the lie. That's the myth. And sadly, there are many Christian parents who have bought into that myth, who have fallen for that lie. We reject that lie. But think about this. You know, what happens in the public school is, you know, they would say, well, we're not teaching any religion. We're leaving religion out of it. We're just going to teach, you know, let's say just the fact. Okay. But the reality is that if you do that, what you are communicating is that God is irrelevant to most of life. And so you're actually teaching about God even when you don't intend to. Even by leaving God out, you're teaching something about who God is. God doesn't matter for most of this stuff. God's irrelevant to most of life. If there is no God, there can't be good or evil. If there is no God, there's no morality. If we're just atoms, if all we are is atoms banging around, nothing has any meaning. Nothing has any purpose. On the other hand, if God exists, if the triune God exists, then God is never irrelevant to anything we do. Think about Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 says, we were all created by Christ and for Christ. All things hold together in Christ. And all things are being reordered under Christ's lordship. All things are being reconciled, put in their place under Christ's lordship. Christ is the Lord of education. Christ is the Lord of the classroom. Christ is the Lord of the culture. He's the Lord of the curriculum. Christ is the Lord of math and biology and physics. He's Lord over literature and athletics and art. He's Lord over the mind and the heart and the body. Jesus is the light of the world. He's the only source of light there is. Only in Christ's light can we see light. Education that does not have Christ at the center is education in the dark and into the dark. We want Trinity Classical Academy to be a place where the Lordship of Christ over everything is acknowledged, where we are looking at the world in the light that Christ provides. We're looking at the light and looking at the light, Christ himself, but also looking at everything else in the light that he provides. Third, the nature of Christian parenting requires Christian education. The Bible has a lot to say about parenting, how we raise our children, who, as I said, are really God's children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses gives the greatest commandment of them all, the command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest commandment of them all. And the first application he makes of that commandment is to teach God's commandments to your children. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you do that, teach your children to do the same. That's what Moses says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You're to talk of God's commands with your children. You're to talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Moses is saying a faithful parent will saturate his children in the Word of God, in the truth of God, in the beauty of God 24/7. God and his word will be a constant companion as you go through life together. Moses goes on to say in that passage that God's commandments should be as a sign on our hands, obviously to govern what we do. They shall be as frontlets on our eyes, like glasses, to govern the way that we think about the world, the way we see the world, the way we interpret the world. He says the commandments of God should be posted on our doorposts, the doorposts of our house, to govern family life, and they should be on our city gates to govern public life and political life. The Word of God should govern everything. And that takes its start in the child's life in the Christian classroom, in the Christian school, with a Christian education. Paul echoes all of that in Ephesians chapter 6 when he commands fathers to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. One of the words he uses there is actually the word paideia that describes enculturation. It's a comprehensive term that means enculturating someone into a comprehensive way of life. And so fathers are to enculturate their children into a kingdom way of life that is all-encompassing, all-embracing, that stretches over everything. You can't do that without Christian education. Doing that requires a thoroughly Christian education. And finally, one last reason, the nature of our warfare requires Christian education. The church is called to do battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Again, go back to what I said at the very beginning. One of the biggest problems in the church today is that we only think of the gospel in terms of a personal relationship with Jesus. It is that, but it's actually the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel is about a kingdom. It's about bringing in a new world order. It's about Jesus now being enthroned over everything. The most basic Christian confession of faith is Jesus is Lord. Well, the world doesn't like that, so what happens? You have this conflict. You have this warfare. You have this battle. And the church is called to do battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. What does this mean for education? Well, one thing that it means, obviously, is you can't hand your children over to the enemy to be educated and then expect them to fight on God's side. You simply can't do that. Education really is right at the front line of this warfare. You think about where does the battle rage the hottest in this conflict between God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom? Education is right there on the front line. It's actually education. It's actually the classroom. If you ever wonder, how did things get so crazy in our culture? Okay. The progressives hijacked our culture largely through the public education system. That's how they did it. That's the reality. And we've got to contend with that fact. We've got to deal with that reality. When we give our children a consistently and thoroughly Christian education, we are training them for battle. That's what Christian education is. It is training for war. I read Psalm 127 for you. Psalm 127 says our children are to be like arrows in the hands of a warrior. What are we doing in Christian education? Christian education is the process of straightening and sharpening those arrows so they are ready to be deployed in this warfare. Trinity Classical Academy is all about preparing children to fight. To fight for God's truth, God's beauty, God's goodness. One source of our inspiration in this project is King Alfred. Many of you have heard me talk about King Alfred years ago. I did a history sermon, a history lesson on King Alfred. I bring him up from time to time because I think he's such an important figure in history. King Alfred, also known as Alfred the Great, known as the White Horse King, was undoubtedly Britain's greatest king. He ruled in the 9th century. It was actually pretty amazing the throne ever even came to him because he was so far down the birth order. The first thing he had to do after becoming king was to fight off the pagan Viking invaders. And once he had fought off the pagan Viking invaders, once he won that military battle, then the real battle began. The real battle for the culture, for the soul of his nation. The real battle to Christianize his empire. He began to reshape English law according to biblical law, using biblical law as his guide. That's how we got the English common law tradition. It goes back to King Alfred, who started reading the Old Testament and taking principles from God's law and working them into English law. And of course, eventually that came over to America. He built churches. He built sanctuaries to promote the worship of the true God. And he started schools, what we today would call classical Christian schools. They didn't call them classical back then, but that's what we would call them. He started schools because he wanted his people to be educated in God's truth. And he knew that the best way for God's people to really learn the truth would be for them to be literate, for them to be able to read the scripture and understand the scripture for themselves. Alfred even did a lot of Bible translating himself. Translating a lot of the Psalms, because he thought this was so important. Education was so important in his realm. Alfred was known as the White Horse King because he rode into battle on a white horse. There are images of white horses carved in various places, into hillsides. One of the most famous is in Oxfordshire over in England. There's a huge white horse carved into the hillside as a memorial to King Alfred. His charger, his battle horse, became a symbol of his glorious victories and his transformative reign. The Trinity Classical Academy mascot will be the charger. We will be the chargers because we want to raise up generation after generation of children who are ready to charge into battle and fight the good fight. Children who are raised up ready to charge the gates of hell, to rescue sinners, to bring the beauty, truth, and goodness of God to bear on our culture. We want to raise up children who will charge the enemy, who will charge against Satan's kingdom, armed with God's truth. That's our project. That's our mission. Amen.